to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, February 5th, 2023, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Some years ago, my family and I took a trip to Italy. We had promised our kids when they graduated high school, saved up our pennies and said, you can pick wherever you want to go. And Margaret, our older one, said she really wanted to go to Italy. And so we went and we stayed in a place that I'd never really known much about. It was the city of Perugia in the center of Italy in an area called Umbria. And we had a wonderful time. The guy we were staying with kind of was our driver and took us to visit Assisi, where we got to see St. Francis's church and birthplace. We really enjoyed the food and the history and the culture. And one day he said, we got to go to a bakery so you can try Umbrian bread. I said, oh, great. Can't wait. We went, and he had a big smile on his face. We went to the bakery. He got us some bread. And he took a bite, and it was terrible, right? I didn't know Italians made bad bread, but this Umbrian bread was terrible. And he said, you don't like it, right? And we said, yeah, we don't like it. He said, I'll tell you why. Way back in the Middle Ages, this area used to be under the control of the papacy. It was called the Papal States. The Pope had his own country, and he was raising money for an army. Just what the church should be doing, don't you think? Having a country and an army. And so he needed more taxes, and he decided he would tax something that everybody used and everybody needed. He would tax salt. And so the people of Umbria said this to the Pope and didn't pay their taxes and stopped putting salt in their bread. And to this day, Umbrian bread has no salt. Which shows that sometimes to make a point, you can cut off your nose to spite your face. Salt is one of the most essential things for life. Our bodies need salt. There's salt in the world, salt in the oceans. Salt is essential. I remember some years ago during a food health thing, they were saying, okay, we gotta worry about high blood pressure, right? So we're gonna reduce salt in food. And they tried with canned soup. Did anybody try this? Low salt canned soup, which tastes just about as good as Umbrian bread. Without salt, there is no flavor. Without salt, the rest of the food tastes bland and lifeless. Salt is essential, which is why I think Jesus uses this image in the gospel today. You, he said, are the salt of the earth. Think about someone who's the salt of the earth. What does that mean to you, right? Somebody who is down to earth, who is a good person, a mensch, you might say. A salt of the earth person has their feet firmly planted on the earth and is a decent and good person. I think that's part. Yeah, we got some people here who are salt of the earth, right? Jesus said, be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. But I have to argue with Jesus a little bit. Because I know it's, watch out, don't tell the bishop. Jesus says, if salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. Well, let me tell you, I'm not a chemist, but I know that salt is NaCl, right? It's sodium chloride, and it always stays sodium chloride. You can take salt out of something, but you can't change the fundamental nature of salt. Salt is salt. So I don't know what Jesus was talking about there. But I think he has something to say to us about what this means. What does this metaphor mean? What does it mean to be salt of the earth? What does it mean to be the light of the world? And to get that message, we have to look back a little bit to our Old Testament lesson, the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah is meditating on a problem that he has noticed in the people of Israel. People of Israel They all know the law of Moses. They're all doing it outwardly, right? They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're fasting when they're supposed to be fasting. They, on the days of penitence, they put on their sackcloth and their ashes, and they bow down and they say their prayers, and then they go right back to doing things that are wrong, oppressing their workers, harming the poor, ignoring the needy. They are not connecting their outward religion with their inward hearts. That's what Isaiah had a beef with them about. He said, your fasting means nothing to God if it's not connected to a life of justice, a life of mercy, a life of righteousness. If your religion is not actually changing you and bringing you close to God, then it is worthless. Empty religion, fake religion, is not what God wants. What God wants is for you to be real, for your relationship with God to be evident in your life. All right, fast forward back to Jesus, who is a great fan of Isaiah. In our Bible study on Wednesdays, which I highly recommend, noon on Zoom, Wednesday Bible study, we talk a lot about Jesus and the fact that he quotes from one book and one person more than any other, and that is the book of Isaiah. There is more Isaiah in Jesus' teaching than any other prophet or any other book of the Bible, because Jesus really liked Isaiah's message. Jesus really thought that that's what people needed in his time as well. That's what you and I need as well. Forget fake religion, make it real. Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I didn't come to overturn the Old Testament. You need to still know that that is God's gift to you. But he did say something. He said, I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. I've come to fulfill that law of the Old Testament. And that's the key. Because do we think that this is a problem. I don't know if you struggle with this, but I struggle with this sometimes. If the Bible is the Word of God, if it's the revealed Word of God, and there's all those laws in the Old Testament, when I go to a seafood restaurant and I have lobster, am I in trouble? When I go at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning to the Rochester Grill with our 8 o'clock congregation and I get bacon with my scrambled eggs, am I in trouble? Because those are prohibited in the laws of the Old Testament. Not supposed to do it. And yet I do it, right? How am I supposed to understand all of those laws? What is Jesus telling us in this passage today? Because this is Jesus' big sermon. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He is laying it all out for people. This is his mission statement. This is his marching orders. This is the essence of all of his teaching is in this sermon, these three chapters of Matthew. I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. I think what Jesus is talking about is taking that law, that gift from God that pointed us toward a right relationship with God, and making it real. Letting it transform us from the inside. We'll hear as we read more in this gospel. When Jesus goes on, he doubles down on some of those commandments. He says, what did the law tell you to do? Forgive how many times? 7 times. You gotta forgive somebody 7 times? Jesus said, no, I tell you 490 times, if my math is right, 70 times 7. I have trouble forgiving someone once, twice. 7 was already hard. 490? What does he mean? He means take the law of God, take these scriptures, take this knowledge and this tradition and make it real in your life. Put the salt back in the bread. Be the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that your light shine so that people can give glory to God, that they can see in you that your faith is not just the outward sign, but it's coming from something real, that you are the salt of the earth. I think that's our challenge, because I've known a lot of folks, I've struggled myself. It's hard sometimes to know if we're walking with God in the right way. It's hard to know if we're just putting on the false front. I talked to someone once at church. He said, "I don't think I belong at church." He says, "I come to church and my life is a mess. It's a hot mess. I feel like I'm broken and I don't know what I'm doing. And I look at church and everybody's dressed up and they're smiling and they're perfect and they seem to have everything together. They're just doing great. I don't belong in that group. I need a remedial church." Everybody at church seems good, right? We all come to church, we put on a good face. But that's not always the truth. That's not always what's real. What's real is that a lot of us struggle. We struggle with our relationship with God. We wonder, God, where are you in the messiness of our lives? Where are you when I'm struggling with a difficult diagnosis, or with a child who's going through a problem, or with just the world, the way it is? Why doesn't it look more like the kingdom of God? And what Jesus says to us, get real. To quote the great theologian, Carlos Santana, some years ago he wrote a song, and the refrain is, "Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it." I think that's what Jesus is saying. Give me your heart, make it real, or else what are we even doing? That was his Sermon on the Mount. Put the salt back in the bread. Let it leaven your life. Let it give it flavor. Be real with your struggles as well as your triumphs, with your times of great closeness to God as well as those times when you feel far apart. And God will be pleased with that. The law was not given to us to condemn us. The law was given so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. What Jesus desires for each one of us is to have such a close relationship with God that we feel that salt in us, that we feel that light shining in us, and then through us to illumine this world and all of its darkness.